I'd like to begin this morning by wishing each of you and your family a very happy new year. And may God bless you and bless your family in this year of our Lord 2022. On Wednesday morning, April the 18th, 1906, there was a massive earthquake that hit San Francisco. Over 3,000 were dead, over 400,000 homeless, and 500 city blocks were destroyed by that earthquake. It was the greatest natural disaster in our country up to that point and for many years after that. One minister who preached there in San Francisco, who lost many of his members that died in that earthquake that Wednesday morning, and many other of his members were homeless, he said this, and I'm quoting now, "If only I had known on Sunday morning what would happen on Wednesday morning, oh, how differently I would have preached. I would have preached about Jesus on that Sunday morning." One 100 preachers were asked, "If you only had one sermon to preach, what would it be?" 88 of them said, "I would preach about Jesus." In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, again, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. The Apostle Paul says, "For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." For this year of 2022, the Truth for Today periodicals that are published once a month, and I'm holding one right here. This one happens to be for Proverbs, and it was the September edition of 2021. But they have encouraged preachers across America and in other lands also to preach about the life of Christ for 2022, asking any and every preacher that would desire to do so to preach about the life of Christ. All your sermons, all your Bible classes, to speak about and study about the life of Christ. And they have material. They also have prepared for the teenage groups and other groups and so on. And so I've been knowing about this for quite a while because I do get this periodical. And so I've decided that for 2022, that all of my lessons, unless I'm speaking at a church that asks me to speak about something else, that I plan to speak about Jesus Christ, about the life of Christ for 2022. Will you open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 17, verse 18 through 20? This morning, as we speak about the life of Christ, I have chosen for us to look at one of His powerful lessons that He taught while He was here on earth. And I noticed that Matthew 21, 17 through 22 has popped up. That is a companion passage to the one that I'm going to read right now. Matthew chapter 17, verse 18, "And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, 'Why could we not cast it out?' So Jesus said to them, 'Because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting.'" And then Matthew chapter 21, that Brother Ronnie read just a moment ago, Jesus said to them, as we started verse 18, that he was hungry, and seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it but leaves, and said to it, Let no fruit grow on you ever again. And immediately the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how did the fig tree wither away so soon? So Jesus answered and said to them, assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Now a question. What in the world? What in the world did Jesus mean? If you have faith and do not doubt, that with your faith you'll be able to move mountains. Over the years, I have pondered about that statement. Again, we read it twice here in these two passages. I've thought about that statement by Jesus and pondered over it and so on. And my answer is, I do not know. I do not know what all he was speaking about that we could do if we didn't doubt and we had faith. To me, maybe the more important question is this. When do I need a faith that will move mountains? When do I need a faith that will move mountains? And I'm going to give you five different things for you to think about. This morning we're studying about the life of Christ. And we're looking at a powerful lesson that he taught his disciples. And it's a lesson about faith. And so on this first Lord's Day of 2022, we're really speaking about the importance of faith as Jesus taught us this lesson. And so as Jesus taught about having a faith that will move mountains, when do I need a faith that will move mountains? Number one, when there are family problems and struggles. Words are said between the husband and the wife. Sometimes it leads to a fuss. Sometimes it leads to a quarrel. And sometimes it leads to something worse than that. Words are said between parents and children and parents, and sometimes we'd give the whole world to be able to take those words back. Words are said between brothers and sisters when our anger is hot and our anger is boiling over. Words are said between grandparents and grandchildren. Words are said between other family members, cousins, and so on. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, the Apostle Paul said this. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. He says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Well, that would include family members, would it not? What would that not include family members? To be kind and forgiving to them. Words are said, things are done, and we need a faith that will move mountains. Not to change all the circumstances or change all the words that have been said, but for my faith to remain intact and for me to remain faithful. How many Christians have lost their faith within the four walls of their own home? Family problems. Sometimes it takes a faith that will move mountains to remain faithful. Number two. When do I need a faith that will move mountains? Again, number two, when there are church problems and struggles. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10 through verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning with verse 10. The Apostle Paul says, "Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul?" And we know that Paul here had just mentioned one of the contentions and one of the areas of division there that was at Corinth, when there are church problems and church division, we need a faith that moves mountains. For several years, I had wanted to visit the church in Sevierville, Tennessee. And of course, preaching over the years, and so you don't get to visit very many congregations. But that was one that I wanted to. I'd heard a lot of good things about the church there. And so one weekend, we took off, and Carol and I, and we went to Pigeon Forge and that Gatlinburg, that area up there, and spent the weekend. And so I anticipated greatly going to the church there at Sevierville to worship that Sunday morning. Well, we got there for the worship, and instead of it being about 300 people that I'd been told that attends there on a regular basis, there was about 100 to 125. And I kept looking around and looking around, where are all the people? And after the services were over with, no one came and spoke to us, no one anything. And so I just kind of sat there, kind of so disappointed and so on with the number and lack of friendliness and so on. And so finally the couple that they were sitting and then standing right in front of us, they turned around and they began to talk to Carol and myself. So we talked a little bit, and finally, I guess being a little bit nosy or a whole lot nosy or whatever, I asked them, "Well, where is everyone?" I thought this church was much larger than this in number. And he said, "Well, they've split. They've had division. They have church problems." And he went on to say that he and his wife did not live there. They actually lived in the Lebanon, Mount Juliet area of Middle Tennessee. But they had a cabin up there, and so they'd go up there quite a bit to stay. And so then he said this to me. He said, "The church where we attend, we also have split." And then he said this to me, and I'll never forget it. Speaking about a church splitting and the problems that they were having in their church and so on, he said, and I'm quoting from him now, he said, "It's worse than a death in the family." Worse than a death in the family. Words are said between the young and the old. Words are said between the members and the elders. Words are said between the richer and the poor. Words are said between the educated and the uneducated. Factions are created, divisions run deep, souls are lost, and the devil's work is being done. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of James, James chapter 3. James chapter 3. And we'll start reading with verse 13. James chapter 3, verse 13. James asked, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly and sensual and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Turmoil, divisions, church problems. What do you need? What? Well, you need a faith that will move mountains. A faith that will make everything better. Well, that would be great. That'd just be absolutely great. But we need a faith that will enable your faith to remain full and strong. A faith that will move mountains. Number three. When do I need a faith that will move mountains? When brothers and sisters quit the Lord's church and they leave. In the last 2 years, we've seen quite a bit of that, haven't we, with the virus and all the other things that are going along with that. And oh, how discouraged we become. Turn with me, if you will, to the Gospel of John, John chapter 6. Jesus is teaching a lesson to his disciples, and some of them decide that, as it says in verse 60, that to them this is a hard saying, and ask who can understand it. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, "Does this offend you?" And then in verse 64, he says, "But there are some of you who do not believe." And then verse 66, "From that time many of his disciples went back and they walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, 'Do you also want to go away?' And Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also we have come to believe and know that you're the Christ, the Son of the living God.'" Many disciples were turning away and leaving and no longer to follow the Lord. And Jesus asked his apostles, "Are you going to quit also?" Oh, how discouraging that must have been for them. And we do not need to treat that lightly. These people turning away and leaving. Oh, how discouraging that must have been to his disciples that continued to follow him. In Hebrews chapter 3, let's read verse 12 and verse 13. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 and verse 13. The writer says, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." The entire book of Hebrews was written to encourage those that were discouraged. Some had already quit the Lord in his church. Some were quitting. Some would quit in the future. When members quit to go back into the world, we that remain, we're so discouraged. We're so downhearted. What does my faith need then? What kind of faith do I need? A faith that moves mountains. That's the kind of faith that we need. This morning we're speaking about the life of Christ, and specifically we're looking at one of his great lessons that he taught. And that lesson was about faith and about having a faith that will move mountains. Well, when do I need a faith that moves mountains? Number four, when you or a family member hear the dreaded words, that you have cancer or some other dreaded disease. I noticed on looking up at the screen earlier and then listening to the announcements of many here that are sick and some that have been very, very sick. A famous preacher, this man was and is a denominational preacher. He had, and he has today, a congregation that numbers in the thousands and thousands. His TV program is seen all over the United States, is seen in other countries of the world, and so on. And he wasn't feeling very well, and so he went to his family doctor, and the doctor ran some tests, and he said to him, "I need to send you to a specialist." And so he sent him to a specialist, and the specialist ran a lot of tests and so on. And then the specialist said to him, "You have cancer." And he said to him that you need aggressive treatments. And he said, oh, I've got all this schedule laid out in front of me. And the doctor said, "No, you've got to cancel all those and concentrate on the treatments that you're about to receive." The preacher thought about this. He said, "All the times that I've got in the pulpit and preached and told the members and so on, and all the people that hear on the TV programs and so on about when you're sick or deathly ill, you need to have faith. And then when I talk to people in private and personal conversations and so on, and they're very ill or family members very ill and so on, well, you need to have faith, brother." And he said, "I was thinking, now it's me." It's my time to show others my faith or my lack thereof. When there is a serious illness, again, for you or for a family member, what does one need? Well, one needs a faith that will move mountains. Probably you have heard, or you've talked to someone that, or maybe even a situation you yourself have been in. Well, what should I read? What scriptures would you say that would be very helpful if, for myself, I'm very seriously ill or I've got a family member and so on? And some have suggested the book of Job. For me personally, I read and reread and reread Psalm 23. Philippians chapter 4, verse 1 through verse 13. Those were some passages that really helped me a lot to read those. When do I need a faith that moves mountains? When, for yourself or a family member, becomes very, very sick. Number 5. We're studying about the life of Christ, and this morning we're studying specifically about one of the lessons that he taught, and it was about faith. It was about having a faith that will move mountains. Number 5, and this one might surprise you a little bit. When do I need a faith that moves mountains? When the wolves gather. When the wolves gather. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 10, and we'll look at verse 16. Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, Jesus said, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves." In verse 17, he says, "They will deliver you up." In verse 21, he says, "You'll be delivered up by family members." In verse 22, "You'll be hated by all." In verse 23, "You will be persecuted." Now, a very, very important question. Have you ever been attacked, surrounded by wolves? I'm kind of looking over the audience right now, seeing how many of our people here are young people. And so I want the ones that are here, I want to ask you, have you ever been attacked, surrounded by wolves at school? For all of us, have you ever been attacked, surrounded by wolves at the workplace? Have you ever been surrounded and attacked by wolves in your recreation? I want to tell you a little story now. Now, to preface the story, this doesn't go any farther than these four walls. It's just between me and you, okay? You can't go tell it. One night, I was tired, and I told Carol, I said, I'm going to bed. And she said, well, I got a few things that I want to do. And I said, okay, I'm going on to bed. And so I went to bed, and I started dreaming about being out west and out in the wilderness area and a campfire and so on. I could hear the wolves howling. And I could tell they were getting closer and closer and so on. Again, I had a fire there, and all I had was a hunting knife and so on. And they attacked. And I was fighting them hand-to-hand combat. And I had that knife, and I was, the young ones, excuse me, I was killing some of them and so on. And, boy, the fight was going on. And then I lost my knife, and then it was just hand-to-hand. Of course, my hands and their, you know, what they had. And I drove them off. And I was so into that and everything, fighting those wolves. And when I drove them off, I started howling. I wanted them to come back. I wanted some more of that. And so I'm in there in the bedroom, and I'm howling. Carol says she heard me back there howling. Howling like a wolf. And as she told about that, did you go back there? She said, I didn't dare go back there. She said, I didn't know what was going on. I'm back there howling like a wolf. Now, you can't go tell that. That's just between us. When the wolves attack, what do we need? Well, we need to have faith, as Jesus says there in Matthew chapter 10, verse 26, he says, therefore do not fear them. So we need a faith. In verse 27, he says, whatever I tell you in the dark, speak it in the light. He said, preach it on the housetop. We need a faith that, in verse 28, and do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. A faith that moves mountains. That is what we need when the wolves attack. And they do, and they will attack. Let us close our lesson this morning with these thoughts. Again, Matthew chapter 17, verse 18 through verse 20. Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the child. And the disciples said, why could we not cast it out? And Jesus said, because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Again, in Matthew 21, he uses the same phrase, if you do not doubt, then with your faith you'll be able to move mountains. What in the world did Jesus mean by that? Well, I've got a couple questions to ask you. Have you ever been to Mount Mitchell in North Carolina, the highest point east of the Mississippi River? And say to Mount Mitchell, you know, you can climb up in that little tower thing, and you're the highest point east of the Mississippi River. And you say to Mount Mitchell, I move you from here to over there. Have you ever been on Mount McKinley in the Sierra Nevadas in California, the highest point in the lower 48 states, and say to Mount McKinley, I'm going to move you from here to over there. Have you ever done that? Well, neither have I. Now, I've been to both places, but no, I didn't say anything like that. But oh, how many times in life have I and have we needed a faith that would move mountains? It might be family problems. It might be church problems. It might be when brothers and sisters quit. It might be the dreaded words, you or a family member have a serious illness. It might be when the wolves attack, that we know that we need to have a faith that will move mountains. Will you turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The Apostle Paul says in verse 8, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. And then he says in verse 16, we ask the question, well, how was he able to do that? In verse 16, he says, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. And he was able to say in the 5th chapter, verse 1, for we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. We know we have that. He was speaking about a faith that will move mountains. I want to ask you, do you have that this morning? Do you? As we've entered into this new year of our Lord 2022, do you have a faith that is like that? Do you have a faith, if you're outside the body of Christ, that will lead you to Christ this morning? As we sing this invitation song, for you to step out into the aisle, come believing in Jesus Christ, repenting of your sin, desiring to be baptized for the remission of your sins. Do you have a faith like that this morning, to come to Jesus on this first Lord's Day of 2022? Do you have a faith that if you're gone back into the world and you need to come back to Jesus, you need to come home? Do you have a faith that will lead you to step out in the aisle and say, I want to come home to Jesus today. I want to start 2022 back in Jesus Christ. If you need to respond, will you come quickly as we stand and sing?